Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, folks out there. Welcome to the show, and thank you for tuning in. You are tuned in to NABREAK, the National Association of Black Women in Construction. We are the advocates for Black women in construction, the mentors, the marketers, and we want women and Black women in construction to be out there and to be known, and to, we provide the resources for you. Post and repost that we say, tweet and retweet if you've been listening to our show. Let those out there listening hear what we have to say. We have a wonderful guest on today. She's going to bring us some information about captive insurance, which is actually a law passed here in Florida recently, sometime in April. So this information is fairly new. This information would be something that a lot of women, business owners, and it will be helpful to those in construction and those out of construction as well, to gain this information in order to gain insurance information and expand yourself as well. The person that I am going to be speaking to today is Andromeda Monroe. She's an associate at Colony, Fast, Tattenfeld, Karlinski, Abatey, and Webb's Insurance Regulatory Law and the Corporate and Transitional Law Division. She's actually licensed here to practice in Florida and also in Ohio. She has nearly 30 years of experience in insurance and reinsurance regulatory law and commercial and reinsurance dispute management. As the former deputy director of the Ohio Insurance Department, she also served in a corporate counsel capacity as assistant vice president of a U.S. Fortune 500 insurance company and vice president to two of the subsidiary insurers. In addition, she assists clients in their participation in captive, which we will be speaking more of today, and catastrophe bond reinsurance arrangements and forming captive, obtaining and renewing their eligibility or certification as eligible or certified reinsurers and obtaining eligibility as surplus lines insurers. Ms. Monroe, she earned her Juris Doctor at Duke University School of Law and her Bachelor of Arts in Political Science from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. So we're speaking to a woman who has an extensive experience, a wonderful background, and who has expert knowledge on this information today. We are happy to have networked with her and to have met her and to bring her knowledge to you as well so that you can take this on for yourself and make this useful and beneficial for you as well. So tune in and let me welcome you to Ms. Andromeda Monroe. Ms. Andromeda, are you there?
Yes, I am, and thank you very much for that wonderful introduction. It's a pleasure to be with you today and to bring to you this new concept in Florida. It has existed in some other states for a number of years, but not that long. It's exciting because it provides a mechanism for companies to provide certain self-insurance to themselves without necessarily putting it on the books of their particular company. They can move it off to a subsidiary or an affiliate. And it also tends to bring jobs and more business to local economies. For instance, when the bill was passed by the Florida legislature, it was viewed as encouraging job growth and increased opportunities. And those increased opportunities include local accountants, claims companies, actuaries, and tax advisors. It also can open up board membership, because at least one board member of a captive insurance company must be a Florida resident.
Okay.
And this law was effective April 24th.
Okay, sum it up for those of us who, this is the first time we're hearing about captive insurance. Give us the 101 definition of what captive insurance is.
Okay. A captive insurance insurer, it's actually an insurance company, but it is owned by the company that it insures, or it's owned by an affiliate or a controlled, unaffiliated entity of it. And I'll try and give you some sort of an example with respect to how a captive insurer actually works. And by the way, it is a regulated entity. Whether it's in Florida or another state, it is regulated by the particular insurance regulator. So, for instance, in Florida, it's the Office of Insurance Regulation. In D.C., it will be the Department of Insurance, Securities, and Banking. And if you form the captive in Vermont, it would be the Department of Financial Regulation. But to understand what a captive is, you will need to look at the company that it will insure. So, for example, imagine that you have a company that has insurance risks that are currently being insured by a private insurance company under a policy, and your losses are usually less than the insurance premiums that you pay each year or less than the premiums that you pay over a period of years. Or imagine that you're carrying self-insurance on your books. You insure yourself for certain types of liability risk. Or you may have a high deductible under a commercial liability policy, and you, of course, are responsible for that particular sum of money in the event that there's a loss. What a captive insurance company does is an entity that you would form, and you would be able to manage your risk in another entity. You could utilize third parties to assist you to do that, and there are companies that specialize in managing captives. And the types of insurance or the types of risk that you could put there, in Florida in particular, would be general liability risk, commercial property risk, or commercial automobile risk. You cannot, for example, in Florida, insure, any life or health or employee benefit type functions or personal residential property or personal motor vehicle or workers' compensation and employers' liability insurance. In some other states, you can place, for instance, if you self-insure for your employee benefits, you can utilize a captive for that particular format. And some companies now are utilizing it to manage the pension liability, where that pension liability is, they want to maintain a portion of that pension liability. They want to manage it themselves. In the construction industry, probably the best use of captives would be where you self-insure a portion of your commercial liability or commercial property risk, or you have large deductibles under those policies. And you can transfer that risk from your particular company to an affiliate or a subsidiary. And in some cases, there are certain accounting and tax benefits to doing that. You, of course, would have to consult with your tax advisor and your accounting firms to determine if it would work best for you in those particular situations. To give you an example of what some captive insurance companies are, for instance,
But before you continue, for those of you guys who are tuning in, you're listening to NABRIC, the National Association of Black Women in Construction. We're speaking with Andrea Mita Monroe. She's giving us advice and information about a new law passed on captive insurance in Florida. This information is amazing for NABRIC and our listeners, mainly because it promotes what we promote. It has the potential of bringing in new jobs into the state. It has the ability for those who have small insurances who can actually gain access to more funds or to switch liability and things of that nature, joining a captive insurer. She's going to tell us more about it. Andromeda, I also had a question for you. You mentioned in a press release by the Florida Office of Insurance Regulation regarding this legislation. Could you elaborate further on that?
Yes. Immediately after the bill was signed into law in Florida, the Office of Insurance Regulation issued a press release. And in that release, it stated that Florida now has better opportunities to attract U.S. domiciled insurers. Florida's insurance commissioner specifically stated, "We welcome captive insurers to Florida's insurance marketplace. The new law will encourage formation of new captive insurers which will promote increased investment in our insurance marketplace. And just to give you some background on other states that have actually adopted captive insurance regulation, for instance, Vermont, which has in the United States the most number of captives, has approximately 850. And, for example, the Seventh-day Adventist Church created a captive to insure their church liability, and that one is located in Vermont. It actually has brought in about $16.6 billion into that state, and it has over 850 captive insurance companies. Hawaii, which is another captive entity, it has brought approximately $20 million to Hawaii in the form of various services and board meetings that are held in Hawaii and spending of people who attend conferences related to captive insurance.
Who would be the ideal person to utilize this service?
The ideal person, as I had somewhat explained a little bit earlier, would be a company that has that either currently self-insures, and your accountant has indicated it might be a good idea to, you know, your balance sheet might look better if you had these risks not in your company itself but in a different company, and that there's a sizable amount of it that's involved. It would also be good for, you know, high deductibles that you might have. Usually, you need to have at least about $2 million in risk to make this basically cost-effective for you, because, you know, you'll need to have feasibility study done. There's an application fee to form the captive. Normally, you would hire someone to manage it. And, of course, all these expenses ultimately end up being tax deductible. I'm not a tax expert, but from a tax standpoint, from an accounting standpoint, companies have found this to be very valuable to them and other states where they have captive legislation.
Okay. And you also mentioned that the captive insurance may need the services of the accountant, as you were saying, tax advisors, actuaries, claim administration, underwriting companies, and or even captive management companies. Will these companies have to be located in Florida?
In the case of Florida, no, which is actually a good thing because it would bring these other companies, you know, in terms of coming into the state to spend their dollars to manage companies that are formed in Florida. In some states, you do have to be domiciled in that particular state. You have to be located in that state. For instance, in Vermont, you have to be located in Vermont in order to provide any of these services. So that brings companies into Florida that primarily may have ignored Florida in the past. But it also, even though you don't have to be domiciled in Florida, accountants, claims management companies that are in Florida would have the benefit of providing services to these captive management companies, to these captive insurance companies. And that's because oftentimes, you know, the captive insurance company, you know, you would want a local presence because you would want somebody that was familiar with the Florida landscape, Florida laws, the risks that are associated with, you know, the particular coverage that you're insuring within your business. So, you know, there are advantages both ways. So Florida does permit the opportunity to have in-state as well as out-of-state individuals involved. And because captive insurance companies, they don't have to use the same statutory accounting principles as regular insurance companies. Also, the capital and surplus for them is far less. For instance, in Florida, you can form a pure captive for with only $100,000 in capital and $250,000 in surplus, and those are invested in very safe investments. And of course, you know, those funds are always available. And the premiums, for instance, that you would pay to insurance companies, where the premiums that you pay are significantly less than the losses that you experience, rather than paying it to an insurance company, you would pay it to an insurance company that you form, where you manage the risk, and ultimately, you know, you may find that if your losses are less than your premiums, then you're ahead of the game.
Okay, that's great. How does one go about obtaining information regarding this legislation or similar legislation in other states?
Okay, you can find most of the information on the websites of the particular insurance department that you're interested in. Florida does not yet have a section totally devoted to captive insurance, but other states do, and a lot of these states, they promote captive growth, not just in their states, but in other states as well, because they think that's a very good thing. So, for instance, there's one particular website that's sponsored by the Vermont Captive Insurance Association, and that's at www.vlikevictorclikecatia.com. And they have, you know, lots of information regarding captive insurers. There are captive conferences that you can attend that are educational in nature, and they give those involved in the captive insurance arena the opportunity to network and discuss captive-related issues. And there's no competition within this group because, of course, everybody owns their own captive, so they're not competing against each other. So everyone's helpful in these types of conferences. The Vermont Captive Insurance Association sponsors a conference every year and also certain educational seminars. There's a World Captive Forum that holds annual conferences, and it's not only open to those that are knowledgeable about captives, but it also is open to risk managers and financial executives of organizations that are exploring the formation of captives. To give someone an idea about how legitimate this entire captive arena is, large major companies and even small companies have formed captives. For example, Coca-Cola utilizes captives. In fact, they have a pension captive. Verizon, AT&T, University of Michigan, University of Pennsylvania, Boeing, University of Miami. Some of them have their captives in the United States. Some have them located offshore in Europe. But on a smaller size spectrum, there are other smaller companies that utilize captives. One example would be small physician groups who find that their malpractice premiums over a certain time period exceeded their losses. So to them, it's a lot better to form a captive, put their malpractice premiums that they normally would pay to an insurance company into this captive, and if they their losses are low, they don't have an issue, and it gives them a little bit more control over managing what they think their loss exposure might be. In the real estate arena, for example, if there are companies that manage commercial properties and they're responsible for obtaining a certain amount of insurance for those commercial properties, where they may have a very large deductible, they will form a captive insurance company to put whatever that deductible amount is in that captive insurance company and get certain potential accounting and tax benefits related to it. Not all companies will necessarily get those same types of benefits. They'll also, for instance, if they self-insure certain of their risks, they will form these types of entities. And you can combine in groups. So, for instance, if alone you may not have enough dollars or to form a captive, some states, Florida is not one of them, but some states, for instance, you can form an association captive where a group of people in the same industry can come together, create the captive, and the captive will insure the risk of all of its members.
Okay. Now, that's not in Florida as of yet.
No, that is not in Florida. Florida doesn't have that specific type. They do have a version whereby you could potentially form that kind of a captive. Florida has indicated it's not really that interested in those types of captives yet. But considering that Florida does not yet have a captive, in fact, I was in a discussion, my firm was in a discussion with them recently, and they are looking forward to getting their first application. They've already set up their website to take applications from captive insurers. So, you know, if you know anyone out there that may be, you know, that self-insures currently, that has high deductible levels, that are interesting to, you know, joining together to put together a captive, then, you know, the Office of Insurance Regulation is welcoming those efforts.
Okay. And who would be the best person to contact if you are interested in forming a captive insurer?
You would need to utilize one of two goods, either an insurance regulatory law firm or an insurance regulatory consulting firm that has experience with captives and has a very good working relationship with the insurance departments that are involved. And even if you might just be interested in forming a captive in Florida, Florida might not be the best location for you. So you do need either a law firm or a consulting practice that has relationships throughout the state to be able to advise you on the best location that you may want to form your captive in terms of what the capital and surplus requirements are, what the cost might be. In addition, what I didn't mention is that even though there are captives within the United States, captives originated offshore, and they are legitimately offshore. You know, most people think, oh, my goodness, it's offshore. There's, you know, there must be something wrong with these types of entities, and that's not the case with offshore entities. For instance, Bermuda. Bermuda is actually one of the captive capitals, and if you... And they also have it set up so that if you can't form a captive on your own, they have what are called like these mini insurance companies that are embedded in another insurance company, and they are regulated. So it's not the case where you need to be concerned that, you know, that they'll do whatever they want to do. They can't. Bermuda, for example, they're regulated by the Bermuda Monetary Authority. And Bermuda has a relationship, for example, with the Florida insurance regulators. They've signed an agreement whereby, you know, they will ensure that, you know, basically that, you know, that the insurance department in Florida will have access to information regarding the companies that are doing business with Florida residents.
And there are some tax benefits for a lot of the overseas captive insurers as well.
Yes, there can
what I'm
be.
Hearing.
Yes, there can be. It depends upon your particular situation and the structure of your particular organization. There is not always tax benefits. I'm not a tax attorney. In our case, we have relationships with a tax attorney that provides that advice. But there's something called third-party related income. And if you can structure the captive in that vein, then there's certain federal, specific federal tax treatment that you get because it's an insurance company. But it has to be set up a certain way, and certain risks have to be in it in order for that particular benefit to be available.
Okay, while we continue to talk to Ms. Monroe, the lines are open. If you have any questions, just click dial one on your phone, and I would recognize you by the last four digits of your phone number. If anyone have a question, please dial one on your phone, and you'll be able to tune in online with us and ask Ms. Monroe a question. But Ms. Monroe, let's go back into speaking more about the construction industry. What are the potential benefits to the construction industry? And also elaborate a little bit more on how you see this is promoting growth for businesses in Florida.
Okay. In the construction industry, it would not be helpful in terms of performance bonds, because normally that's not a type of risk that you can self-insure. So, or performance bonds, construction bonds, it probably would have no use there. In terms of commercial liability coverage, i.e. general liability, or insurance that you have on your equipment, depending upon what the premiums are that you pay, It may be a viable vehicle for you to take those insurance premiums and invest them in a captive insurance arrangement that you own, because, of course, you could potentially come out ahead based upon what your normal loss exposures are. Some groups have found that. They take a look at, you know, the premiums that they've paid over a 5- or 10-year period. They look at what their losses are. If their losses are significantly lower than the premiums that they pay, then they determine it's a viable option for them in certain cases to be able to self-insure those risks. And that's assuming the particular project that you work, construction project that you're working on, will permit that. But in the case of a deductible, if you have a large deductible, you know, a couple of $1 million in deductible, then you can take that $2 million that you would have for the deductible. Instead of keeping it, you know, as a liability on your particular books, you then form a captive, or you have an affiliated captive. You put the $2 million in that particular entity. And there can be, from an accounting standpoint, and I'm also not an accountant, but from accountants, there's certain sometimes accounting treatment that works, because it's not specifically necessarily on your corporate books or records on that of another entity. As I indicated earlier, depending on the nature of the risk, it may or may not have a particular tax advantage to it. In terms of it being beneficial, I will tell you that I'm very much involved in the captive arena and the reinsurance arena, and mm-hmm. The only conferences that I ever attend that's in that vein, that's in the reinsurance vein or the insurance vein, where there is a more than just a smattering of minorities in terms of particularly African-American women, the captives have a far greater number of minorities involved in their formation and involved with respect to claims management, providing services to those particular captives. And there's at least one captive management company that's located out of D.C. that's run by a former District of Columbia commissioner, and he does captives in District of Columbia as well as Delaware, and potentially, you know, is available to do them in Florida. So it's a new emerging area, and particularly even for children, I mean, college students who are thinking about areas of practice to go into. I mean, if they're an accountant, it's a niche area for them, mm-hmm. and, you know, they can, you know, decide that that's what they want to learn to do. And that, of course, would make them have a particular valuable expertise that's just not generally known. If you work for an insurance company and you're in a claims department and you're thinking about, you know, maybe forming your own claims management company, being involved in the captive arena would be, you know, a particular niche area for you. And, you know, you could have lots of business opportunities in that regard. If you're extremely good at managing. Oh, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. I was going we have about 2 minutes left. If anyone wanted a former captive insurer had any more information about former one, what would be a best contact number if they had any more information from you?
Okay, if you wanted to get information from me, my name is Andrew Amita Monroe. I can be reached at 954-492-4010. My email address is amonroe@clikecat.com, and I'd be willing to talk to anyone regarding this issue. Any questions that you might have. I'm not asking you to, you know, retain my firm or anything like that in order to form a captive. But, you know, I'm willing to discuss it, talk with you, put you in contact with, you know, anyone that you might want to further discuss it with, if you're thinking about
We thank you, Ms. We're running out of time, and the information you gave us was extremely useful. Hopefully, we can continue this conversation at a seminar or something similar. We could simplify this information for all of you as well. Ms. Monroe is going to be part of our go-to person now, but when it comes to more information about the captive insurer. Thank you all for listening. Again, tweet and retweet, post and repost. Let everyone know what we're doing. And if this is an interest of yours, captive insurer, please stay tuned. Please follow us. As well, send us some email if you want more information, info@nabwick.com or info@nabwick.org. I remember Ms. Monroe's phone number is 954-492-4010. Her email address is amonroe@law.com. Thank you once again. You've been listening to the National Association of Black Women in Construction. Send our information out. Download our archive in order to hear this information again. Stay tuned. Send us your information, and we will continue this conversation with Ms. Monroe. Thank you very much, and you all have a wonderful day.
Thank you.